and thanks for joining us at the table. I'm Jared.
And I'm Ian.
And we are the Game Table Podcast. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our finely crafted thoughts, and try to give you, our curious listeners, an idea of if it's a good fit for you and your table.
Today we are looking at Star Wars the Deck Building Game, which is designed by Caleb Grace. It's illustrated by a variety of artists, which we'll have listed in the show notes, and it's published by Fantasy Flight Games.
This is a fast, quick-to-learn two-player head-to-head deck builder, where you are competing to be the first to most efficiently build a deck of troopers, ships, and iconic heroes to destroy four of the opponent's bases.
Well, let's shuffle our decks and fly casual and dive into this game.
So in Star Wars, the deck building game, obviously this is a deck builder. You start out with a pretty standard deck building function in that you each have a set of 10 cards. Most of them are resources to be able to buy other cards. There's a couple of attack cards, and then you have a wild, in this case, the Temple Guardian or the Inquisitor, that can either move, it can add to your attack, it can add to your resources, or it can do a third mechanic, which is to pull the Force closer to you. The Force plays a couple of different roles in this game, which we'll go over in a minute. But essentially what is going on is there is a row of cards that you can buy from. You cannot buy all of them. There are Rebel cards, Empire cards, and neutral cards. So if you are the Empire, you can only buy Empire or neutral cards. If you are the Rebels, you can buy Rebels or neutral cards. This allows you to build up your deck and come up with a variety of combos. But like I said, there is also this Force track. The Force track does a couple of things. If the Force is all the way on your side, then you will get an extra resource. Additionally, there are a variety of cards in the deck that allow you to get extra abilities if the Force is quote-unquote with you. And that's as long as it's on your side of the board. There's also an interesting mechanic that I've not seen in any of the other games. So like we talked about in the overview, you are trying to destroy your enemy bases. However, you can also attack enemy cards that are in the row to be bought. And that not only keeps your opponent from being able to buy said card, it also gives you a reward to go along with it, which can further create additional combos. Like I said, the game is fast, the game is quick. The other thing that I will say is that the planets that you are attacking, each of them, after you get through the starting planet, each of them have a ability that also adds to your combos and adds another twist as well. Just off the bat, Ian, I will say that I enjoyed this game. I will give final thoughts at the end, but just being a Star Wars fan in general, I felt compelled to buy this game.
Of course.
Because it is an additional Star Wars game in my collection, but it filled a different spot that I was looking for.
It does.
And I have not bought some of the other deck builders that would kind of fill the same mechanic in board gaming. So it would seem like a good fit.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, you know, Ian, what's your history with Star Wars?
My first ever Star Wars game that I played was Star Wars, the customizable card game, which it came out in the 90s, actually. But that was my cousin had it. And I was an absolute nerd because it's like, I don't know. So I would have been, we didn't play it till the 2000s. So I would have been like maybe 8 or 10. I already watched the movies. So I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. There's a game about the movies that I love. And so that was the first one that I ever played. So it was early on, mm-hmm. like before I was even a teenager, I started playing Star Wars board games and card games. So what about yourself?
Nice. Yeah. So as a kid, I didn't play very much in the tabletop world, but we spent a lot of time playing a variety of Star Wars video games, whether it be Battlefront or Knights of the Republic,
yes,
or any number of games that it was a time of wonderful life.
I mean,
where
times.
There were Star Wars video games.
Just wasting hours and hours.
No, not wasting. Enjoying glorious, glorious story and blowing ships up. It was great.
It was.
My first tabletop experience was also from Fantasy Flight Games when they introduced Star Wars to their living card game catalog, if you will.
Yes.
Got that for a Christmas present, which was great. It was a lot of fun. but then my mind was quickly distracted by the game of X-Wing, which you and I have played for a long time, and yes. also was released around the same time.
Yeah.
We've played a variety of Star Wars games over the years. We also played Star Wars Rebellion, Star Wars Outer Rim, both from Fantasy Flight Games. So I think it's safe to say that we do like Star Wars.
A lot. Too much, probably, some would say, but not me.
So were you able to see any, what was your first Star Wars movie in theaters?
In theaters? I didn't see one in theaters until because I watched the originals and then the prequels were coming out and I just didn't see them. And I remember when episode 3 came out, but I didn't see it in theaters. Mm-hmm. We got it on DVD and I watched it like over and over and over again. So the first one I actually saw in theaters would have been episode 7, which was part of the
wow.
not very good trilogies. So yeah, I didn't see the prequels or anything in theaters.
I did not know that. That blows my mind.
Yeah, I know. Even though I was a diehard Star Wars fan, I just didn't watch. I watched the originals and then the prequels were coming out like when I was enjoying Star Wars, but I just didn't really watch them because I was too young for my parents to take me to the theater. So at that point, I was just watching them on DVD.
Okay. No, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it would have been episode 7 and then probably Rogue One.
Very cool. I got to see all the prequels in theaters.
Very nice.
It was a life-changing moment for me. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't care what anybody says, all you Star Wars fans out there, Phantom Menace is great, so back up off me.
Phantom Menace, we had I had the 3-disc case of the prequels, and the Phantom Menace was definitely the one that was watched the most, like guaranteed.
Nice.
I would sometimes just skip to the end and just watch the final fight scene between Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Awesome. Well, I know that you have a little bit of history on our designer, yeah. Caleb Grace.
Yes. Yeah. So Caleb Grace, he's been designing some games for a while with Fantasy Flight. I know he's part of their team for a while, but he's been, the first game he designed was Lord of the Rings, the card game, which is very popular. And then Marvel Champions was the next phase of that. And then now Star Wars, the deck building game. And so he's kind of taken these kind of ideas from different things and kind of progressed through that. And when he was designing Star Wars, the deck building game, he looked at a lot of other deck builders that were out. You have DC Deck Builder, you know, Dominion, Thunderstone. There's a lot of the older ones. Dominion was the first deck builder, but he kind of took concepts from all these and liked a lot of the ideas. But the one thing that he found was the kind of snowball effect, which can happen in some of those deck builders. Caleb did not want to have it just be like, oh, I'm going to buy the best card on the table, and therefore I'm just going to be automatically upgraded better than you. And so in this game, because there are multiple cards out, and some of them are the opponents and some of them are yours, you can't always control necessarily what the other player is going to buy, but you can in some ways, because if it's their own card, if it's like I'm the Imperial player and you are the Rebel player, you can go ahead and destroy that card by attacking it. Now, as long as you have enough strength to defeat it, you can defeat it and it'll go to the discard pile. So there's a lot of ability to control the board, unlike many other deck builders. And so that ability alone was something that he was really looking into when designing this game. That way people don't lose interest in the first 10 minutes when you got the best card. And so this game can be, even though you, like, let's say you grabbed, you know, Luke Skywalker or Leia in the first 5 turns, and I haven't gotten a good card yet, there's always a potential. There's always, you know, in the games that we played, though, that did not happen for me. Did not happen for me, but I will say that there are always that, like, oh man, if I flip this one card this next turn, I could be back on track to try and climb back into this game. And so that was something that he was really focusing on when designing this game.
Yeah, I think that shows up in a couple other ways too. So I know there was a couple of games where I was playing with my wife, Anna, and she wanted to play as the Empire, and she would be able to buy Darth Vader and bring him into play. And it's the super intimidating presence, right? Like, holy crap, Darth Vader's got 10 attack. He can just kill a planet just because he wants to, kind of thing. And he does that, but then, you know, she would look around and be like, well, crap, I still have 8 attack.
Right.
And I can't do anything with it because I've done the thing already.
Exactly.
And you don't flip out a new planet until your next turn if you lose a planet that round.
Exactly.
So you can't just keep stacking onto a player and just wipe them out.
Yeah, it forces the game to be played a little bit slower in that way, is that like you can't, in other games, I mean, you have a turn that you have 20 resources and 20 attack. You could like wipe a player out. Mm-hmm. Or like in an example, the most recent game I've played is DC Deck Builder, where if you had a turn like that, you could kill the villain and kill this thing and like do this, and you could do so much, and you would just completely upgrade your deck. Where in this, I mean, sure, you can kill the other, you can kill the planet of the opponent, but that's not really, you don't get anything actually from that, unlike some of the other games, where you're not gaining resources or something from killing somebody's planet. That doesn't actually gain you anything normally.
Yeah, in fact, the other player's the one getting benefit because they're getting a new ability on that next planet.
Exactly. So it creates a very interesting and well thought out balancing system where if you are the one that, if you lose 2 planets early, you are getting some type of reimbursement from that planet being lost. So potentially, and that helps you kind of climb back into games, which really helps, especially with, again, that snowball effect of some player having some better cards. You potentially could get some cards easily from those planets being destroyed. You have some abilities that trigger, and boom, you have a couple cards to add to your own pool that can balance that out.
Yeah, I think another way that there's a lot of variety and ways of balancing, it's not really a balancing mechanic so much as adds an element of randomness that guides players to have to play differently each game, in that you have a 90 card deck that you're flipping over and you're only seeing 6 cards at a time.
Yes.
So you might not see your card that you want for several turns.
I mean, or until the end of the game.
Or until the end of the game.
In my case.
You might be salty about that. I don't know. But I don't know. I've really enjoyed trying to find a different strategy based on the cards that are out. And that has worked pretty well most of the time. I've always felt like I could get an engine going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even... That's the other thing too, is, you know, with a lot of the Star Wars games that Fantasy Flight's put out, is you kind of want to do as well as you can because it's a multi-hour game.
Yeah.
But in this case, I mean, even learning the game, we never played longer than an hour.
No.
And once we kind of got it down, you're in that 30 to 45 minute range, to where you're not just flying through it in 20 minutes and feeling like you didn't actually do anything.
Right.
But you're also, it's not overstaying its welcome.
No, I think with, like, again, other games, there's, you know, many other Star Wars games, they are longer games. Mm-hmm. Rebellion and Outer Rim, I mean, you're talking multiple hours. So have a game that's kind of short and easy to learn. Those are not easy to learn. So having something that is easy to learn and something that people can pick up, that, like the Star Wars universe, I think this fits really well with them, because, again, there is that simple aspect of, like, really, you draw your hand of 5 cards. And then you just play your cards. Like, that's really all it is. And what the cards do are pretty simple, mm-hmm. straightforward. The complexity gets more like, what do you do after that? What's your plan? But I agree with you in that, is that each game that you play is not going to be the same. And the two between the Rebels and the Imperials, they play very different in my mind.
Yeah.
They are not the same. They do, a lot of their cards do very, very different things. Like, as an Imperial, when I'm attacking you, the abilities I get from destroying your characters or cards that are out look very different than the cards that, like, when you destroy my cards. I think some of them do some different things, but in general, I don't think, it's not like a match. It's not, mm-hmm. like, these cards are super similar. They do exactly the same thing. They don't. Every card does kind of a little bit different thing, even between the two aspects there, between the Imperials and the Rebels. And so that changes the game entirely, is you could play the Imperials 3 times and play the Rebels 3 times, and it is totally different, especially with the cards that come out. You cannot control what comes out. And so you kind of have to adapt the strategy of what is coming out. And that, again, is that you can play the game differently every time. I do think in between the Rebels and the Imperials, they play a certain game within themselves pretty sure. frequently, but that doesn't mean that you have to stick to just, oh, I only have to get cards that attack. Like, that, it's more than that.
Yeah, and you still have the Tug of War of the Force as well, where you're wanting to make sure that you're not letting it sit on the opponent's side too long. Otherwise, they're just getting extra benefits for free. So there's a lot of different combos, and I think that adds to the complexity of the game and really gives it an extra layer that some of the other ones that I've seen, you know, all deck builders try to work into combos. I just like some of the things that this game is doing a little bit better that we've talked about. You know, you kind of touched on this a little bit. You would say this is pretty easy for someone to get into.
I think in general, yeah, I think deck builders find a really nice spot for people to easily pick up. I know a lot of people that aren't necessarily into really complex games, but they do like deck builders. They like trading card games. And so going from trading card game to deck builder, I think, is a very easy transition. I don't think that's hard because you're used to card draw and card play and finding out some combos between cards inside your deck. Those things are all here. And so when we're talking about newer players, though, talking, if they haven't played any of those games, I still think it's fine, easier for them to pick up a game like this. Because again, you start out with 10 cards, you draw 5 every turn, and then you play that hand out. So you can look at your hand and you, I have 3 resources. What can I buy for 3? And if you're talking about 2 brand new players, I wouldn't recommend playing with an experienced player versus a brand new player. But if we're talking about, 2 buddies wanted to pick up this game and try and learn it, it's super easy because they're coming at the same skill level and they can easily pick this up. Like, because again, it's that easiness. It's look at the table. What can I buy or what can I destroy? Like, those are simple decisions. But when you play the game over and over again, you find out that there's more than just that. There is way more depth inside of that.
Absolutely. And I would say if you do have an experienced player and more of a newer player, definitely give the experienced player the Empire.
Yeah.
I think they're the harder side to learn. I don't know if you feel this way, but I think they are both balanced in the way that they play, but they do play very differently.
Yeah.
And I think the Rebels are a little bit more straightforward than what the Empire is trying to do.
Yeah, I think the Imperials have a very there's really 2 ways they can approach the game. I mean, they can focus solely on building ships, and that's fighters and cruisers, or they can go like more of a trooper route. And there's obviously a balance between those. And this is my very noob opinion. It just seems like there's a couple different routes you can take, and that's about it. Because you want to control the board as the Empire. And I feel like a lot of their cards are all about controlling the board, controlling what the opponent can get, because you have really strong attack cards. And so you have in my opinion, a better ability to control the board compared to the Rebels. And on top of that, there's Star Destroyers and stuff that are very, very strong, kind of tanks, and so they can really control the game in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. There was multiple times where you just had a wall in front of you and I just looked at it and I was like, I'm not sure how I'm gonna get through all this, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So I did want to mention really quick, so this is a 2-player game officially. You can buy 2 copies of the game and create a 4-player multiplayer interaction, which we have not tried.
That sounds like chaos.
But Fantasy Flight has posted official rules for that on their website.
That's cool.
So that's the thing you can look into as well. If you are into solo mode, there is no official solo mode, but there is a plethora of options on BoardGameGeek.com for those of my solo players who are listening. I want to call out in particular the username Azure Death posted a file called Leaders, a Star Wars deck building game solitaire variant. I've run it multiple times and I think it's really solid.
Okay.
If you want to go that route, like if you want to try the game out, you don't have anybody that's truly interested, but if you learn the game, they might give it a try.
Right.
That's one way to get into it as well.
It's always a nice plus.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's plenty of times where I'm at home by myself that I would love to be able to try something.
Yeah, for sure. When I'm working from home, I will just want that like 30-minute break.
Yes.
It's a easy grab for sure.
I mean, it works great. So if it's, And BGG is always great for stuff like that. People come up with the coolest things. And so, yeah, having that option, I think it would actually help you learn the game better too. I could see you understanding a little bit more of the cards and seeing, I mean, just seeing cards is always great. Mm-hmm. And you looking and being able to play a little bit that way would definitely help if you're trying to like learn the game too. Having a solo variant is great.
I will speak to that. I learned the game. I felt like I understood the game better by playing it solo a little bit. Being able to play the faction that I don't normally play because no one will let me because they want to try and master it.
Try is the key word.
Not only did I get a better understanding of the Empire, I also understood how to beat it better because of understanding what it wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking to get better at the game, that's another plus to the solo side as well.
Yeah.
If you, I know we've mentioned a couple. Can you think of similar games that would either be, this is a step up from, so like if, for example, you've played X, you'll enjoy this kind of situation. One for me, it has very similar vibes to the game Star Realms.
And I've never played Star Realms, so I have no comparison for that game.
I will just say, and I mean, I know there's a lot more content for Star Realms at this point. If this game gets expansions, which that's a massive if because of the way Fantasy Flight Games operates, but if it does, I never need to see Star Realms again because I think this improves Star Realms at every facet.
Do you own Star Realms?
Not anymore.
Okay.
No, I did once upon a time.
Okay. It's very similar system, correct?
It's the same concept. You're both, but there's no factions.
Okay.
Well, there are, but you can buy into any faction. You are a neutral faction going into it, and you can recruit from any of the factions. You have ships that you can kind of put in the way of bases, and you're trying to destroy base. Well, you're trying to destroy health.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Right. Now, is it better because of IP, but also game mechanics too?
I think I would enjoy this better regardless of the IP.
Okay.
I bought this game because it had the Star Wars label on it.
Sure.
The gameplay is what ended up selling me. At first, when this was announced, I will be honest and say, I kind of rolled my eyes. Yes. And I was like, this is what we're doing.
I agree. That's how I felt.
But yeah, a couple of the reviews really kind of pushed it over the edge for me to try. And I would say, I think it fits well for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But if it was something else, I would be just as happy.
Deck builders are not really my game. I played Dominion early on, which is a great, you know, early comparison to that. It's slightly different in the way you're not trying to attack, you know, the other players. The decks run out, so it's a little different of a game. The other comparisons are the DC deck builder, which I have played. I've not played Star Realms or really any others besides that. And I enjoy those games. So if somebody wants to play them, then hey, would you play this game with me? Yes, I will play probably any game except for Monopoly. That would probably be the one, and Risk. Those are like the two. Those are my no-nos. But no, those are the good comparisons. If you have played those and you like them and you like Star Wars and you're interested in something that maybe adds a little bit more depth and decision-making, I would highly recommend this, especially if you really like those games.
Wow.
Because I don't like some of those other games necessarily, but this game is enjoyable. I'm down. I would to learn it and get really good at it. I don't know if I have the time for, but because I like a lot of other games, but I would always be down to play this because there are a lot of decisions to be had and you are not going to see the same game twice.
Okay. Well, I think we can dive into our pros and cons at this point.
Yeah.
Talk about the things we liked, some of the things we didn't like, and kind of give our final thoughts. So Ian, what were your favorite parts about this game?
The art is incredible. I know they did like original art for this. And so the art is awesome. I love art is a big part of any game for me. If it has bad art, I'm not interested normally. So, and then on top of that, the force mechanism trying to control that throughout the game is very different than any other game that I've really seen. When you're talking about, you know, trying to attack the opponent. And there's also this other thing that both players can kind of influence at the same time. That's not something that I've seen before. And that's a really cool aspect of that. As far as the things I don't like.
Hold on a minute. Now you ask me what I like, because we take turn. We're a team right here.
Well, you tell me what you loved about this game.
All right. I thoroughly enjoy this game. I enjoy seeing all the different combos in this game. I enjoy deck builders. I don't know that it's, I would say it's my favorite mechanic, especially when it's on its own.
Yeah.
But I would say that, especially because it's something that Anna really likes, and I also like coming up with those combos. It's really a good draw for me.
Yeah. That's cute.
Uh-huh. But no, I think for me, the two mechanics that really pushed over the edge for me was, one, the being able to destroy your opponent's cards, mm-hmm. and learning the timing of how to manipulate that.
Yeah.
And also the boost that you get during the game when you're getting new planets.
Mm-hmm.
There were multiple times during a game where I'm like, please just kill my planet.
I know.
Because yeah. I've got this now hand of cards that I can pick from. And the cool part is I can pick whichever planet I want. And it's totally based on the engine I'm already building. And so I can just kind of boost that to the next level. So those were the two things that really stood out to me. I did like the force mechanic. I think I would like to see some expansions, because I think there's even more that could go on there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think for you and me, we kind of kept looking at it and being like, oh, it was his turn. And so he yanked it like four spaces back his way,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Thanks. Cool. And now I've got to focus my turn on being able to get it back.
Exactly.
But that is a neat aspect too, of understanding the timing and the trade-offs and being like, all right, he can have it and I'm going to do this other thing instead.
Yeah. No, I think, and you know, if we want to dive into the bad
ahead.
Things,
I know you're chomping at the bit for this.
This is my take. So the things that deck builder is not like the number one thing that I love. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy playing the game though. And that's the thing about this. I enjoy this game more than other deck builders that I have played, which is a good step up for sure. The issues that I have is, like you're saying with the combos, and some of it is in any card game is card draw is absolutely massive. It's less of an issue in here than plenty of other card games. But when you're talking about cards that, you know, that does happen, you can just have a bad game. The combos, I was always in any deck building, I'm looking forward to those. And maybe it's because I'm still learning, but it was hard to find them. That was something that it wasn't enjoyable, because I'm like sitting there waiting for a combo to come to my head. And I just can't, the cards don't match or I can't find the combo. The last game we played it did happen a little bit more frequently, but mm-hmm. early on there was a kind of a little bit of that learning curve, which is fine. That's cool. If that is part of the learning, learning the game is learning the combos, and that's the fun part, but they weren't necessarily coming to me naturally. It was like, I had to try and find something to combo. And again, it could have been card draw or whatever, but the other part is, the Imperials, they have a very specific way to play. And it was hard to figure out in my mind. And then it seemed like the Rebels, some of their cards were a lot, stronger. And this is my, again, yeah. this is me saying, but a lot of their characters, between like Leia and Han and the Millennium Falcon, those cards are all really strong and all do really good things. Where the Imperials, I never felt like something came out and I was like, unless it was Darth Vader or Grand Moff Tarkin, nothing came out that I was like, oh my God, I have to get that, because, and I was like, sure, I want that, but it's not like it created an engine. It wasn't creating an engine. A lot of the little heroes or villains, some of them were like, oh, what was one of them? If you flip the top card and it's an Imperial card, you can swap it out with one in the middle. And I'm like, well, I mean, what if it's not? So then yeah. I can't swap it out. So then I can't buy it. And so I have to buy something else to replace it. And so there's a lot of like looking at the top card of the deck for the Imperials. And it's just like, that doesn't really help me right now. I'm trying to like build an engine. And maybe if I got the engine started, it would actually help. Maybe mm-hmm. that would actually work. But maybe it was more really using my head to try and figure out, well, what kind of engine am I building? And so that's kind of frustrating when you're sitting there trying to do something and like nothing happens. And again, one of them, the other ones was card draw. Cause I like had like, I felt like 50 damage and 50 resources. And like, I just kept flipping. I wanted to buy something, for goodness sakes. And then I kept flipping Rebel cards and I'm like, I can't destroy all of them. I have to buy something. And I just didn't flip anything. Like I just, not a single, I think there were four out of the six or whatever were Rebel cards. And
there was definitely some bad luck there,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so it makes it tough. And again, I'm fine with letting that go. That, again, these are, some of them are major. where the learning curve potentially, like getting into the game, super easy. I mean, it's you draw cards and you play cards, but some of that, especially on the Imperial side, I feel like it's a little bit unbalanced for somebody that's new, and it might be really hard to try and learn because I'm you know, and I'll probably still stick with it because I'm, you know, just want to lose, I guess. But no, I'll probably stick with it and try and, you know, figure out what's going on. And somebody that's played the game more than me would already know. But yeah, that was kind of the challenging part of looking at that and being like, okay, well, I can't do anything now. So this is all rebel cards. And I don't know what I'm trying to achieve because a lot of the Imperial cards are, they have a lot of ships. They have a lot of cruisers and stuff like that that build your health points. And so you can try and go for those. And eventually I did try that and it did work in a way, but it was still finding that balance part of it for the Imperials is a little bit more challenging. It looked like compared to the Rebels. I feel like the Rebels was a little bit more straightforward.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that critique a little bit. In a two-player game, So let me clarify. I love that they play differently. I think that's important.
I'm not okay. I'm okay with it. It's just the thing is the balance of it is the more
I understand.
The issue that I would
say. So that's going to get to the critique of it. I love that they play differently. I don't like that. I feel like the Rebels are so much easier to pick up than the Empire is. And that part is a little bit disappointing in a game that only has two players because there's nobody else there to interact with other than just that. And so I like when games have asymmetric powers and one of them might be easier, and that's okay because either you can toss that faction out or there's other players in the game that are helping being like, okay, we can't just let this guy run the table because he's got the easiest faction or whatever, or girl. But I think for me, I think Caleb did a great job of trying to stop the snowball effect. But if you as the Empire do not get the card that you need to be able to control some things, and the Rebel does happen to pull off a good combo, then it's over before it starts.
Yeah.
We had one game where I got Princess Leia on turn one.
Mm. Ouch.
And then was able to turn around and get the Falcon because of Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And I knew in my head, I was like, I should offer to just shake hands because
it hurt my soul.
Because we knew it was over. And it was shortly after.
It was humiliating.
It did not take long.
It was a humiliating defeat.
But I will say that is a outlier of a thing that can happen in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Not the norm.
Correct.
And I like the asymmetric powers. I do like a little bit of luck in my games. I really don't mind it at all. But I would like, maybe even if you just had, like some games have like a starting guide to say, hey, this is how this faction plays,
yeah,
and you are going to be looking for X, Y, and Z to be able to help you along.
Right.
But these are all quibbles. Overall, I'm really happy with the game.
I think it for a game that is as short as it is designed to be, the last game we played took way too long. We just started building up
fleets.
It
was way too defensive.
You got to be aggressive in this game, I think, too, for both players to have fun and it be quick.
Yep.
I think the designed time that this game is supposed to take, like a bad card draw or a game of card draw will, I mean, again, it's usually the odds are that the games will be equal over time. And so when you are playing a game like this, that is short, you can play multiple games and mm-hmm. the games will be balanced over time. And
yeah.
So that's the plus side. And I think that's the side that changes that in a way. If you're not investing 3 hours into a game that you've been drawing 3 hours of bad card draws mm-hmm. and it just ruins the experience, whereas just one game quickly, like within 30 minutes that, okay, well, let's try it again. Maybe I did, you know, I could have played that different. Like the game that you got both of those cards in the first two turns, I did not play well. On top of the bad card draw,
mm-hmm.
I could have played it a little bit different to maybe prevent at least one of those cards from going into your hand. So,
right. And I think it is important to remember the intention is for it to be a quick game.
Mm-hmm.
And so not to get too hung up on trying to make the perfect strategy, but
yeah.
Just have fun being aggressive and blowing up people's stuff.
Right. And that's the struggle that I have with games like that. Cause I want to try and create the most awesome combo, but sometimes it's not like that.
Just not how it goes. Just gotta, sometimes.
Guns a blazing, just let it rip, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's time to grade this game. So with our rating system, we are going to use a 0 to 10 rating scale, where 0 is hot garbage and should be burned in hell itself. And 10 is a glorious masterpiece.
Yes.
That will forever be praised.
Forever and ever.
And then there's a wide spectrum in between where we're going to kind of give you an idea based on what we rate it.
Yeah. So I would give this game, I'd probably do a 6 out of 10 for me. I'm reluctant to give it a 7. I would give it are we doing half? Are we doing 6.5?
Absolutely.
Okay. 6.5 then. 6.5. And the reason again, all the reasons that I said, it was not I didn't hate it the entire time. And I did have fun while playing. It's just not on the top of the list of games that I would like, let's play that. That's on my list of like to play. And I would compare it, and because we're going to do this, is I'm going to compare it to your family or your wife is like, hey, let's go see this movie. I really want to see this movie. And I was like, okay, all right, fine. Let's go see the movie. And you're like, you know, you're going in and you feel like you're just going to hate it because you're like, I'm going for you. This is why I'm going. I'm not going for my own joy and pleasure. I'm going only because you want me to go. And so you watch the movie and you were thoroughly entertained. Well, no, maybe not thoroughly, but you were entertained. And you finish the movie and you're like, you know, that wasn't that bad. I enjoyed myself. I didn't hate myself for being here. I'm glad I said yes, because I want to be here and have fun with the family and be here with you. But in the end, would you do it again? Probably not. That's what I would compare it to. But overall, yeah, 6.5.
Wow. I'm going to give this a 7.75. Why are you laughing?
7.75.
Yeah.
What gives it that extra 2.5?
Probably that Star Wars.
Oh, but okay.
I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to get too close to that 10 because I've set that 10 up pretty high. I don't want to just, you know, be throwing around 8s and 9s like they're nothing. I want to keep it in the 7 realm.
I'm starting out low and we're going to see maybe I started out too low.
No, that's okay. I like that you did that because I'm giving this game a 7.75. I obviously love the IP. Star Wars is great. I think that it's something that fits in my collection as a great two-player game that Anne and I will enjoy playing mm-hmm. at any given time. It's fast. It's got a lot of depth for a fast game. It gives a lot of variety, and it also has the potential to be better if Fantasy Flight does the unthinkable.
That is a big if.
In 3 years, probably, and gives us an expansion.
When you've worn the game out completely.
Yeah. If it gets an expansion, I think it could be bumped.
Yeah.
I think it will wear out its welcome at some point, even with the variety.
Correct.
But as far as deck builders go, I'm very satisfied with this game.
Yeah.
So that is why I give it a 7.75. A comparison. I would like to think that this is very much in line with Taco Tuesday.
Taco
Tuesday cannot fail you. It will always be good. I will think it's great because tacos are my favorite food.
Of course.
It will never like be bad ever. And there will be games where it'll be epic, like where I get Princess Leia and Han Solo and Luke Skywalker on the board at the same time. And the Empire player just looks at me like, are you serious?
Sometimes and that taco just hits different.
It just hits different. So if you enjoy Taco Tuesday, you will enjoy Star Wars, the deck building game.
Okay. It's a good comparison.
Awesome.
I'm okay with that comparison. That sounds okay.
I feel good about it. I was really nervous about the comparison part, but we're here.
That fits well.
So guys and girls and all you people out there, this was our episode of Star Wars, the deck building game. Obviously, this was our first episode ever.
First. As
the Game Table Podcast. We really look forward to be able to continue to grow into our own here as we try this thing out. And
we are learning just as much as you are.
Wow. Maybe more.
I am definitely learning way more.
But I want you to know, curious listener, that we appreciate you.
We do.
Very, very much.
Thank you so much for listening, anyone and everyone.
So, Ian, what are we playing next?
Well, next we're looking at Wingspan by Stonemaier Games, which is a great little classic game of birds.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We are humbled to have you at our table, even if it is a metaphorical one. Additional special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the music. If you have feedback on the episode or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or reach out to us on social media. Our links are in the episode description. Additionally, we would absolutely appreciate it if you could take a moment to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you are listening and help spread the word by sharing with your friends and that one individual at the table that you really just need to beat at your next game night. Both of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast, and we are so excited to see where this thing goes. Until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experience at the table be ones to remember forever.
Goodbye. May the fourth be with you.